45, the rebranded Pipe and Slippers Football Podcast. I am your host, Roger Kirby, and with me this Saturday evening is Mr. Stephen Rudkin.
Good evening, Roger, and welcome to this new era where we officially drop fantasy from our podcast title.
Yes, we're going all serious and more refined. No, not really, probably.
No, but we will be having a press conference as we release this podcast. We'll be having a big media day for the launch of the new name as we go official. Just allows us to, as we end up doing, talking more football and more other things than just our fantasy football, which this started off life as. So.
Yep, but I think, don't worry, obviously we'll still focus on those leagues. Obviously once the drafts are well and truly underway and we are up and running with the season, which is miles away.
It is miles away. It feels miles away since we last did one of these. It's been 6 weeks. So apologies to everyone out there that we haven't got to you sooner, but here we are with a week, but what are we on now? 4 days, 5 hours and 26 minutes as we record till
the draft. Thanks for that stat.
You're welcome.
You have to drop the metronome.
No, I don't have the technology here to add sound effects live, I'm afraid.
So. Yeah, the new era is not brought with the most sophisticated recording mechanisms, unfortunately.
Not just yet. So, how have you been doing in these last few weeks?
Yeah, not too bad. Missing football, I think. Kind of miss it on a Sunday. It's meant to focus the week around, and it's a nice cathartic release. I tried to delve back into soccer ball this weekend with the FA Cup semi-final. Lasted 20 minutes.
It's a good effort.
Yeah, before I nearly broke the television. So I was that frustrated, I just went out for a bit. Just got out because couldn't deal with it. It was just awful. Just awful.
Yeah, I've tried to watch a few little bits here and there. I tried to watch a Champions League game earlier this season, and because there wasn't anything else on at the time, I sat down, and it's just such hard going.
I can't believe I embraced it and played it and enjoyed it so much, because I just watch it now and it's just so, so bad. There was a moment, I think it was the moment that there was a ball came across Jesse Lingard's body. He's the Man United footballer, and he tried to absolutely smash the leather off the ball with his left foot. And it was just like, you know, it's just, and then the commentator went, oh, on his weaker left side. It's like, seriously, we're 2016 and we're still not developing two-footed footballers. That was enough for me.
Yeah, I think that's the standout thing watching it, that things haven't evolved and progressed in that manner. Although, as Anthony might say, we have NFL love goggles on as we watch all other sports. As I was watching some Aussie rules football last week for, again, no reason other than there's nothing else on TV. It really does feel like the NFL off-season when I end up watching some AFL. Still don't get it.
I was watching a bit of the Cavs versus the Pistons the other night, and to be fair, I'd forgotten how much I actually enjoyed watching basketball. And I reckon if I gave it enough time again, I could get back into it.
It requires a lot of time, and I guess that's why we end up, we tend to, as characters, commit wholeheartedly to something, and it's all or nothing. So if you go in and try and watch something and commit to watching things, you end up wanting to.
Oh, yeah, because I tried watching, I can enjoy watching, like baseball every now and again, but it's just too much of it.
To the point of
where it's just like, well, I can't, you know, it's completely the wrong time zone. You know, I struggle to follow it. And for that reason, you know, at least with the NFL and the way that, you know, the 1 p.m. kickoffs, especially, at least allow us to enjoy watching actually live sport. There's something weird about trying to go media blackout and then watch it the next day. Just doesn't. It's the same because you don't know, but you know it's not live, if that makes sense. You can make a difference.
You could solve those problems and just move to the US.
Yes, I've tried to convince a certain somebody in my life that moving out to the West Coast and living out there. Oh yeah, man! I've got this. I've been checking out houses in San Diego. It's kind of where I want to live, in some trendy upstart gas lamp area.
Where you may very well be getting a new downtown stadium. As they're trying everything to try and keep the charges there, and plans are up about a new multi-use stadium, which would be good now that the Rams are in LA to keep teams separate, and there's no need to, if they can stay there, great. If they end up going to LA, not the worst thing, but
no, I think there's no point in flooding the LA market. We don't yet really know long term how fans are going to react to having a team in LA. So I think to then flood the market with two is a bridge too far, at least initially. I think maybe long term, potentially, but I'd like to see the Raiders stay where they are, and I'd like to see San Diego stay where they are.
Apologies for the sounds of one vicious evil cat in the background at Roger's end.
Apologies. He's not very happy with something. I'm not quite sure. He's got biscuits, so
kicked him out of the room.
No, well, he's now gone out of the room, so we're good for another 5 minutes before he comes back.
And draw some more blood as he attacks you.
A lot been going on in the world of sport. Before we cover that, just a quick one, and how have things been with you? I think you should update the listeners as to your status.
Been busy with a property development venture with my parents, taking on another apartment in the studio flat.
So American.
In the building I live at, so doing a bit of DIY renovation to make that good for either rental or resale. So that's taking up some of my time in the evenings and the one day off I get these days. So that's keeping me busy, outside of making lots of coffees at work. And then just trying to keep tabs on all of these draft prospects and what's going on. Otherwise, same old, I suppose.
So I guess that leads into, what did you think of the two trades?
Yes, that's the interesting thing about this lead up to the draft, that two big trades have happened with a week or so before, so it gives everyone a time to reassess their mock drafts and work out where everyone's going, and everyone can arrange their lives accordingly. I do really like the positive moves, particularly from the Rams, because they, not with the whole move and what that means, but it's that they actually have a lot of picks to be able to trade away, and unlike the Eagles, who have ended up leaving themselves dry for everything in the next year or two, it's very rich for them to move up. So I like it from the Rams' perspective, but obviously they're going quarterbacks, and it makes this draft fairly certain as to what's going to happen at the top now. Your thoughts on?
I don't know. I mean, I was really surprised that they were willing to pay as much as they paid. I think that's the bit I don't get. Is it seemed steep, because let's be honest, the Titans weren't going to ever pick a QB. Yeah. Now I can understand that if you fall in love with one of those QBs, and you then manage to say, I don't know, if you traded for the third spot with the Chargers, for example, you might not get the quarterback you want because somebody goes and pays the Titans what you want. So they now at least control their own destiny. But I don't know, when you consider that 6 months ago we didn't know who Carson Wentz was.
Yeah.
He's all of a sudden, you know, a legitimate franchise quarterback, and he just seems to come out of literally nowhere. And then, you know, I read a report that Jeffrey Lurie was saying about that, and Harry Roseman was talking about that potentially, you know, going forward, that there's no the next couple of years of drafts don't look particularly quarterback. It's like, well, you know, Carson Wentz has come out of nowhere. How do we know that at this point? You know, 2 years ago, Hackenberg was a, you know, a dead cert number one pick, and if he just kept on going on the arc he was going, he was going to be, you know, a world beater. So I don't know. I just feel that, you know, I don't necessarily think that you need a lights out quarterback to win in this league. I think that you find a way of making it work in other ways. Maybe that's just the way. I mean, yeah. You know, I think you can. I think, you know, for the Rams, for example, would they have been better fortifying that line? Potentially, because the O-line's been a real, you know, difficult thing for them, especially when they've got Gurley in the backfield there. I mean, I look at it and wonder cynically whether Snead and Fisher know that they're under the cosh, and by drafting a quarterback number one, a 7-9 season buys them time. You know what I mean?
You really get that time to develop with a new quarterback, particularly if you don't start them for, say, the first half of the season, then you get even more time to kind of bed them in. But as you mentioned there, there are different ways to win, and there aren't enough so-called franchise quarterbacks to go around. And it does just seem so desperate to move up for these two players, which, as you say, nobody heard of them 6 months ago. If you still look at kind of big boards and top 50s, they really aren't in this draft, not top 15, top 20 level players, Goff and Wentz.
No, I mean, what, I think like Daniel Jeremiah's got like 7-8, so they're drafting for need there and not necessarily the best players on the board. Now, we all understand that the quarterback's the most important position on the field, and I can buy what the Rams are trying to do, but the Philadelphia Eagles seems backwards because, you know, they've invested a hell of a lot of money in Bradford for what's a one-year sort of run the hook for a little bit in year two, but we can get rid of him. And, you know, they've paid Chase Daniels decent backup money with incentives. Yeah, with incentives to be, oh, potentially you can be the starter.
Yeah, they're moving up is odd when they've got those two in-house. And as you mentioned, there's different ways to win, that those two can be very serviceable quarterbacks. Yes, we haven't seen much of Daniel yet with first team starts, etc. But you can win with these guys. And it really does say a lot about the likes of Hoyer, Fitzpatrick, those type of guys who teams aren't willing to take and play, and they want to move up and mortgage the future on some kid in Goff or Wentz.
I mean, here's something. Can you really afford to be paying a quarterback sort of the $20 million a year, and, you know, and have enough parts in other areas?
Yeah. I know that
it's possible because the Broncos sort of did it, and they were paying like Manning, but Manning was on essentially a base of 14 last year.
Yeah, and obviously Brady's always going team friendly and often only on kind of somewhere in the 10 to 12 region on the cap hit each year. And from that aspect, you could almost say, you know what, teams should just keep taking rookie quarterbacks because they can pay them very little money, and you can spend that money elsewhere on free agency with big signings elsewhere.
Well, not even free agency, but keeping your homegrown talent. You know, look at what Seattle have done, and I know that they lucked out by drafting Russell Wilson, but they hit on some, you know, big players lower on in the draft, and they've kept them, and that's going to keep them relevant. You know, that defense is going to keep them relevant for, you know, the next 3 or 4 years, at least.
Are we actually all just talking about, when we've talked here about kind of serviceable QBs, there's different ways to win? Are we looking a bit short-sighted in terms of recent history with the Broncos not really having good quarterback play, with the Seahawks? In the couple of years they did get to the Super Bowl, really, they weren't asking the quarterback to do a lot, particularly in the passing game. And when we've got this mentality at the moment that actually the defences are what winning championships more.
But as much as, you know, as much as the Patriots won the Super Bowl with Brady at the helm, what was one of the big reasons that they got there is that defense was upgraded on the previous years. You know, they paid a lot of money to get Darrelle Revis into the building. You know, and when the Packers won the Super Bowl, you know, a few years earlier, that defense was upgraded. You know, it was not necessarily upgraded, but performed above its usual standards. You think of the amount of takeaways that the New Orleans had when they won the Super Bowl. You know, these are all guys with elite quarterbacks, but defensively, there's more of a balance in the team.
Yeah, I guess when you look back, a lot of the recent wins with so-called franchise QBs, they didn't really perform necessarily in terms of high scoring and in the playoffs necessarily winning it for them. It ends up being the defenses. So I was just trying to see whether there is much.
I think for every argument that so you could make, I could make a counter argument and vice versa. I think there's so many different ways in which you can win. I think, and I guess it's heavily slanted by the way that I believe that you should build a franchise. And I guess that's why I like the Browns move so much in terms of trading out. To acquire picks, and you're still going to get, you know, a decent player at eight. You know, you are getting another first round pick the year after. You're getting another second round pick this year. I think it's a case of the draft is very much a case of there's probably only a handful of dead certs.
No, very much so. And when it actually now comes down to the Rams and the Eagles obviously taking one of each quarterback, well, number one, the Eagles have got to be dead certain that they are happy with either quarterback, because to trade up so far before the draft, you obviously know that you're happy with either one, depending on who the Rams get. It's obviously not like waiting for the Rams to pick.
There must be some back-channel communications that have gone on. Surely.
And then also when it comes down to that, I mean, real deep analysis of Goff and Wentz, I personally haven't studied either too much. So they both have nice traits, and that ultimately, if we were to sit here after the draft and the Rams take Goff or Wentz to say which one's going to work, I reckon all comes down to the coaching staff, the coordinators, which one they prefer for their systems, hopefully, because they're seemingly so comparable that they're not miles apart in ability. And those conversations, which we never will hear about, but the conversations between the coaches on the visits is so important, I think, for the quarterback at this stage. So,
yeah, I mean, so you get a feeling that guy's going to lead your team, be the face of the franchise. I think ultimately, if you're comfortable, as you say, if you're comfortable with the skill set, then it's going to be more down to, do you like the guy's personality? And is he going to fit in your building?
So it was just kind of a point that either way they go, for us to say, oh, they picked the wrong one at this stage is so unknown, and it will be years before they pan out and we see
it will
which
be,
one works out.
They will be forever linked, you know, because if one goes on to You know, especially if the Rams trade up and pick the wrong one. You know, and the other guy goes on to be a success with Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But extending that, I mean, I mentioned I quite like the Browns move. Was that something that you'd echo or?
Yeah, I mean, they've obviously let a lot of players go out the building, and it seems like they're starting with a blank canvas. So they're gaining as many picks as they can to get what they feel they need. And the Robert Griffin move is, like we mentioned before, there's different ways to win. I think with Hugh Jackson, it comes down to that relationship. It seems like that's a good match, that they can make something work with him. And they're not going to be trying to win this year. And if they as well have done their homework and aren't happy with Godfrey Wentz and prepared to put everything, like you said, into all that money into one quarterback, that if they're not quite happy with, then it's the right move not to take.
If they start moving in the right direction this time next year, you know, they have a good draft this year, there's nothing stopping them from compiling those two number ones.
Yeah.
You know, next year and using that to move up to take a guy that they potentially like. And, you know, let's not forget that, you know, would you consider Derek Carr and Teddy Bridgewater at the moment potential franchise quarterbacks?
They're trending in the right direction, but it's what this term franchise is, and what you want to call it.
So the jury's potentially still out, but you wouldn't be averse to having them as your quarterback on your roster. I mean, you know, take for example, the 49ers would take both of those guys right at this minute.
I think if you know that they haven't got necessarily the amazing skill sets or the real mental side of the game like the Bradys and Mannings, which only really come later as you get experience. But if you haven't kind of got that so-called elite talent, ability or mindset, and you've got a guy who is a little bit lower in his ability, what you just always want from them is consistency in terms of, you know what he is and you know what you get, and therefore you can work with it. And those two guys seemingly are a bit like that. You know what Teddy's limitations are, but you know that he plays to his almost max potential.
And he's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
And you know, rarely he's going to be the guy that, you know, is costing you games week in, week out. So, you know, those guys were picked up in the back end of the first and the front of the second. So I still think there's talent to be had in those later picks. You can either maybe trade back in for a quarterback, which I guess begs the question is, do you think Lynch will last beyond the first day?
That's now the guy who is as well shooting up the boards, that going into kind of this time last year, before this last season of college football was played, you had more than anything, you had, as you mentioned earlier, Hackenberg was a lot higher up, and Connor Cook was even higher up on all the lists.
Yep.
They're sliding, and it's Lynch now that's making the move up because he's
prototypical.
Ticking a lot of boxes in the way he plays. So they're the type of guys you really just don't know. It could be even somebody like the 49ers who, if they need to find somebody, will try and could get a Lynch. But what value and where you think he's going to go is going to be important.
I think he'll go late teens. I think someone will trade up. I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe the Broncos or somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean, you look from essentially the current list of 21 all the way through to 30, they all have, and I'm doing it in double inverted commas, franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but you can make the, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if even Arizona did it.
Yeah, Arizona to talk about needing to groom somebody. But everyone else, even Washington, they've got Cousins, but will they be able to sort
a long-term deal out? Because there's no way they're going to pay him franchise tag him again, surely.
Not now they've spent all that money on Norman.
There's another. Yeah, there we go.
So, yeah, it's if you're going to come up from either a team who is at the top of round two or the Broncos, you're going to have to kind of, I guess you don't need to leapfrog all of those guys, but it's whether at the moment Jets are looking at somebody.
And the Bills are an odd one because obviously Manuel doesn't seem to be the guy, and they've not addressed Tyrod Taylor's contract this off-season. Now, I know that they've got quite a bit of money tied up elsewhere, not what they're like against the cap, but yeah, it's interesting. It's like, and you've also got like New Orleans. I mean, eventually, you know, I know that they got Grayson last year, but you know, are they going to start looking at maybe grooming someone, keep drafting quarterbacks to groom behind Breeze? You just don't know.
It's whether somebody like the Browns or the Niners move back. Again,
yes.
Browns try and get more and go to kind of that mid-teen spot to try and get a Lynch if that's where they feel he's going to go. Or whether it ends up being even somebody like the Cowboys moving up from round two. There's options there. It's a good thing about this draft. It's seemingly teams wanting to move around based on what I was going to say before. There isn't really a quarterback who's got franchise value that needs to go number one, but clearly that's not the case now. The Rams and the Eagles have shown they want those guys. But what happens below them. The Chargers have been trying to see if they can move down and get more picks, despite the fact they now have, they essentially sit number one overall to take the best player of their choosing. But the best player is either Tunsil or some talking Ramsey. Now, for them, it's the offensive line was an issue last year, but they have kept/re-signed their guys. If they could stay healthy, it's kind of that odd one. You don't really need to get anybody because Dunlap and Fluka and Barksdale were all fit and healthy. You don't need anybody.
But, hence the reason that they've tried to trade out of it, but I don't think they're going to get what they think that pick's worth. I mean, I think that they'll end up picking. Yeah. I think they should take Tunsil. If he is the best player on the board, pick him and worry about dealing one of those guys potentially.
Yeah. I think you need at least the sixth man on the line anyway.
And then I wouldn't be... I mean, the Cowboys is now an interesting one because they obviously are not going to take a quarterback there. I mean, they definitely need a running. They clearly need a running back, but whether they can pick that up later. I mean, Elliott's an interesting one.
It is, but then they did because he is such a so-called best running back in the draft. A bit, he does everything. He can offer so much. Yet when they have McFadden in house, they've just signed Morris.
Yeah,
you feel like
you've got to
they
feel
don't need him, even though he is going to potentially be such a star.
And surely their secondary needs upgraded. Ramsey would be.
I mean, coming into this draft with the way the Rams and the Eagles have moved out, you'd originally thought the Cowboys wouldn't necessarily get a Ramsey because kind of Tunsil Ramsey would go in the top three. But now they're sliding.
But then they've got
the option of going.
But you've got Miles,
Jack, or Ramsey. So you can see them going defense more so.
I think if the Cowboys take Ramsey, if the Cowboys don't take Ramsey and say they take Miles, Jack, or Bosa, I then think that the Jags will take Ramsey. I think that they'll Gus Bradley will fall in love with him, and then I think the Ravens will potentially the Ravens will stick to their board.
You also there because obviously you don't expect Ramsey to fall past kind of the Cowboys, but almost then that's when if a guy like that does end up falling, you end up with the Jags if they were happy with a Jack or Bosa kind of whichever that the Cowboys might not take. Then that's where you could see some more trade action for a team that would love to get Ramsey and coming up to five isn't as much as coming up to two or three like it would have been before all these trades. So I kind of like what we're seeing and hearing, that there could be a lot of moves, which makes it fun and exciting. But it looks like a defense there for Cowboys. And
it's going to be interesting to see what, obviously, what's left, because, as I say, I think the Ravens will clearly stick to their board.
Yeah,
they're not going to start. No. They're not going to start deviating or anything ridiculous.
I mean, this is like where that. Likely Ravens, Niners, all the talk is either Stanley will go at those spots, or looking on the defensive side, Buckner is projected around the.
Yeah, picks. I mean, I'd be happy with if the 49ers were to take one of those guys. I mean, they seem to be they seem to be the guys that people are projecting to be in terms of big boards.
Yeah.
You know, within that sort of top 10. I wouldn't be surprised to see Elliott sort of slide.
Yeah.
I think he'll end up with the Dolphins.
That's what I was just about to ask you, actually. Running back-wise, if the Cowboys don't go with Elliott, which we thought, a lot of talk was before the trades that Eagles might have looked at him. But now that that's not the case, and we see probably the Ravens and the Niners not likely to take an Elliott, are we going to see him slide? And which one of these next kind of Browns, Bucks don't need one? Would the Giants go there? The Bears, Saints, Dolphins? He could even slide past all of those?
He could. I mean, Browns are definitely going to stick. The way they look set, they look set to take best player on the board. Yeah. So if he's their best player on the board, then they take him. But, I mean, the Dolphins must be licking their lips at the prospect of him sliding all the way down there.
Mm. But you wouldn't see any of those others in the middle there taking the Giants.
The Giants just seem very sort of, they're going to want linemen, aren't they, potentially?
Yeah.
Because that's the way they've always drafted, or does Jerry Reese, knowing that his job's on the line, need to feel that he needs to make a splash?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a sexy pick because he is such a talent. But you know, when there's talk that potentially you could probably get Derrick Henry back end of the first, top of the second,
yeah.
And I know he's got a hell of a lot of miles, and there's the whole on his on him, and there's the whole Alabama running back.
Yeah, but if you've got to make a splash and you're on a 1 or 2 year thing, and you've got a win now type team, who cares that the guy's had all those carries? You abuse him for 2 more years, and that might be the end of him. But
well, that's what the Washington Redskins did with Alfred Morris, didn't they?
Yeah.
Ran into the ground, drafted Jones, and see you later.
So, he's going to be certainly one of the more interesting ones to watch, where Elliott falls and then where Henry might go. Because if he continues his Heisman Trophy form and play, one of the things about him is he might need to learn in the NFL that the gaps are smaller and he's got to get tight in there and get thin. But
they said that about all running a lot of running backs, don't they?
So but it's going to be really good to see where he goes, I think. So we
I mean, I'm just, you know, flicking through the token, like, you know, this Reuters draft's got Shaq Lawson going to the Browns. Vernon Hargreaves going to...
Yeah, he's on a sudden rise up the boards, Lawson is, following visits. And I think one of the one things about this year's draft, again, it's just such a shame that Jalen Smith isn't in the mix with his horrific knee injury, because he was going to be in the top five without a doubt. And it's which team feels like they want to take a chance and what value it is to take on somebody who you know is not going to play for the first year, but it's that risk that does he play ever again at all?
Yeah, and this, I mean, it begs the question when these, you know, elite programs are making the amount of money that they are, then there surely has to be some kind of compensation for these guys, you know, in terms of monetary value for playing. And, you know, it needs to be that if you are playing, I don't know, the top level of college football, that each player, regardless of talent, gets a set amount of money. And even if it goes into somewhere that they can't touch until they graduate or something like that, but something that they are getting paid to play.
There's certainly something wrong with it when it's a physical contact sport, and it varies to the baseball and basketball college games, whereby those players can also skip college completely. They can come out of high school. Basketball players will come straight out of high school and can get drafted and get millions right away. There's still this odd thing that the players have to go through college and spend a certain amount of time almost developing, which is kind of good from a safety aspect, but at the same time, some people develop quicker, and 3 years of college is a complete waste of time for them. And if you're not getting paid...
You know, when some of these guys are basically going and essentially enrolling on some online, course where essentially it gets them into the university and says that they are a student athlete, but realistically, they're not. They're full-time footballers, for crying out loud. I mean, you remember how difficult it was for us to keep in shape, try and play sport.
Yeah,
I couldn't. I was travelling to, living in Cardiff, trying to play football for a team in Swindon, 80 miles away, and you just couldn't.
I know things have potentially changed a bit now with all the major sports teams in this country, particularly in soccer, that the teams have such good academies that they are taking players after school and are giving them some form of education alongside being part of being in the system. But yeah, 10 years ago, if you wanted to try and carry on making it in sport, but the sensible ones would still also always having to try and marry that with education, because the likelihood is it's not going to work out.
I mean, let's be honest, if I'd have been given, a scholarship to play for a football team when I was 16, I wouldn't have been bothered with education. And just like you would with cricket, there's no way, because that was really, really, okay, you weren't bad in school, you came out with good grades, but that wasn't what you wanted to do with your life.
No.
You did it because it was a fallback option, and, well, what else am I going to do, sort of thing. So, it's just a case of
it's also still an odd concept to us to get used to in terms of the college football and what it is as an entertainment factor and a sport and an entity that, as we see, makes millions for the programs. And the players themselves, even if they're not getting paid, don't seemingly get, it should almost be completely all expenses. Like, fair enough, if you're not getting paid, you still hear stories that some of the players living off scraps and can't afford to do this, that and the other. There should be some serious kind of benefits, even if you're not getting paid to it.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, yeah.
At least. That then all leads itself into whether some of these kids being given too much, if they were given money and too much too early, how many then?
But again, there's got to be ways around that where they can be paid and they can be given enough to live, comfortably, but that they don't necessarily get the wage or the money until they graduate they have to physically, to get that money, they have to physically graduate. They can't just leave. They get it when they leave. They have to physically graduate or something like that. But it's tied into their academic pursuits as well. So you are potentially developing proper student athletes. And should football not work out for them, that they are, there's an incentive to a monetary incentive to study as well. Because, look at the likes of, the Lattimore, for example. I mean, that guy was going to be potentially at least a first round pick. If he banks what, 6-7 million from that first initial contract, if he's sensible with money, he doesn't need to worry for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And now, he's faced with the product of, well, what does he do? I mean, it just must be crazy.
I know, it's ultimately, it was obviously really unfortunate for the Jags last year. with the injury to
now, Fowler.
To Fowler. But if you compare his situation and Jalen Smith, it's happened at just the right time. He signed his contract, he got his money. He wasn't not going to be going anywhere for at least 4 years. It happens 6 months earlier for Jalen Smith, and he's going to lose millions if a chance to play in the NFL at all might escape him. So, yeah, there needs to be some form of long-term, as you say, money or compensation at least, that if these things occur for these players, some form of trust funds, etc. Are put there for players if they don't get drafted based on injury. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see where all these college prospects go. Any other thing you wanted to touch on regarding the draft?
Not so much the draft.
Now that that's 4 days and 4 hours away.
Thanks for that stats. What do you think of the Norman rescinding of the tag? It was interesting because you'd put that when he was skipping off-season workouts, you were quite forceful in your takes about people skipping off-season workouts with the franchise tag.
Yes, well, it's always something that I found odd. Yes, people holding out and franchise tags, and we've just been talking about it there in terms of injury, and if that's your risk, obviously it's a bit of an odd one if you want to skip practices from that aspect.
Yeah, that's something I've never quite got, because if you're going to train regardless, because you're personal pride and ultimately you're working towards a long-term drill. So whether you're in the building or out the building, you're going to train. Doesn't it make sense to train in the building where you've got that cover?
Yeah, well, it does stem from hearing that Von Miller, obviously he's dancing at the moment, so he's not there for these so-called OTAs, which are essentially practice, but they're called OTAs. And it's this whole aspect that if you really, I think I was talking about it last year actually with Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
It's just this mindset. Is it solely just about making money and a business decision and trying to get a better long-term deal? But for me as a team, I wouldn't pay any regard to players sitting out in terms of giving them a better contract based on that, because I just see that as a mentality that they're not all in on that team and wanting to win for that team and being a good team player. All the things you're going to miss out on by not being around the building, being able to talk football and learn plays, even if they're not really scrimmaging at this time. All those talks and conversations are going on. You're building rapport, you're building teamwork, I suppose. And that it just baffles me how these players don't want to get better with their teams to give themselves the best chance to win championships, which they all talk about. And then it comes contract talk time and they completely forget that they're there to win championships. It's purely about them selfishly and their money. And it's just that odd mindset that they'll get that deal and then they'll suddenly say, I'm all about championships. But
yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it's one of those, if you are, I mean, you can still sign the franchise tag, can't you, and then work, negotiate a new deal?
Yeah. I mean,
so it's like, look, sign the franchise tag and then we'll negotiate from here. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, maybe it's because we're not playing and maybe we would look at it differently. But if you sign a £13 million 1 year franchise deal, realistically, if you are sensible with your money, you're never going to have to worry for money again. Unless you're that concerned about, you know, making sure that you are setting up, yourself for, you know, the next sort of five generations, generations of your family. But I don't know. I just find the whole thing really, really interesting from that perspective.
It also comes down to, I guess, some of these mentalities and beliefs in themselves. Some of them have that belief that they are the best, they are just completely awesome at everything they do, that they'll be happy to take that franchise tag money, but they'll sit out because they're betting on themselves almost. They know that they'll, even without turning up to training, will come in and perform. But for me, if I was in that type of situation, I would feel the kind of the pressure to perform and achieve when you know you're being paid that much, that you are one of the top earners on a team and everyone's looking at you and yet you're still asking for more money.
Yeah.
You need to really deliver day in, day out.
And another thing that I don't understand is if you want that long-term deal, part of taking a long-term deal is accepting that you're going to have to take less guaranteed money than you would do if you were to do 2 franchise tags.
Yeah.
Because if you'd want to go 2 franchise tags back to back, the risk's all on you as a player. Yeah. Now, if you want the club to take all that risk, you're going to have to realize that for the club to take the risk, they're going to want to see a, you know, reduction on that.
Yeah.
So if you, you know, say for a franchise tag in the first year is 12 and it's, I don't know, 15 in the second, that's 27 million over 2 years. Well, the club's maybe going to want to offer you 22 million over the, you know, guaranteed, and maybe you can work it up because all of the risks on their side now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think that maybe players don't see the bigger picture. Is that it's okay saying, oh, well, you know, the franchise tag, all the risk on me. Yeah, well, if a club signs you to a long-term deal, all the risk's now on that. I think it's just interesting. I think you could go around in circles again. Another thing, you can go around in circles. But yeah, in terms of the Norman deal itself, I think it was refreshing to see a club go, we're not going to play, you know, we don't think the deal's good for us. You think you can seek a deal better elsewhere, go for it, we'll move on, we're happy. And I think the fact that Norman realistically has had one good year, and, you know, this was his breakout year, and I think there's a hell of a lot of money to be paying to a 28-year-old that's had one decent year.
Yeah, I mean, he's quoted as saying he got sideswiped and didn't see it coming, it really came out of nowhere. Almost kind of feel like there might be something more to this, that if we talk about it too much now, something else might come out that has caused it internally.
Well, potentially, I think that the fact that he wasn't going to turn up for off-season workouts, and who was it, Alan, the guy, Jared Allen,
yeah,
who's retired and came into the Panthers midway through last season, said it was possibly the best locker room that he'd been in all the years he'd played. And I don't think that Gettleman and Ron Rivera want to sacrifice that for anything, especially coming off what was a very humbling Super Bowl loss, where they went in as favourites, they went in with all the swag and all of the dabbing and all of the, you know, we are this and that. And it was, I wouldn't be surprised to see a slight early season off, you know, slump. Although, to be fair, I think the fact that they've got the Broncos first week, and if they could win that sets them up fantastically.
Now, I mean, you talk about for Norman himself, it was like one good season. Yes, he seems to be a good playmaker. He knows how to find the football, but obviously that scheme and the way they play allows them to be able to do that, that they're not in...
He's not impressed.
And so he is a good playmaker on the ball, but for him now to be, if it was just Billy about money and he was demanding essentially that he would get paid number one cornerback money in the league, is kind of ridiculous, I feel, when the age he is at, 28, coming off just one good season.
And also not the best cornerback in the league.
Yeah. Some people might, more Panthers fans might know more about this than us, but when you follow the league like we do, a lot of players, there's so many players, there's 53 players on a roster, there's 90 before the pre-season starts, there are a lot of guys out there. Until really this year, I'd never even heard of Norman. Just honestly, openly.
Oh, no, I'm with you on
it's
that.
It's ridiculous that he now, in the space of 1 year, goes from somebody we never heard about, talked about, to suddenly jump up. Even though he has got some good skills and had a good year, it's amazing that he would demand or want that much, particularly to stay where he, if he wanted that much to stay in Carolina when they know they've got other needs. They are so close. They've got everything there. You know what? It's kind of, do you want to win that championship and get back there? Or are you going to be greedy and basically take all the money that then means you can't get back there because you're taking too much of it?
No, I'm really with you on that completely. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how he pans out in Washington, because you know, you're going up against a couple of the best wide receivers in the league in Dez Bryant and Odell Beckham. And don't be surprised to see the Giants drafting a wide receiver early to Treadwell would be an interesting pick because they really need to help out Beckham.
Well,
because Randall's gone, hasn't he? And we don't know what Victor Cruz is going to be.
I read a line saying he is. Cruz is feeling 100% ready to go, but that may be a different story when he tries to play and hit the field. But Norman certainly can earn that money and get it deservedly so if he can perform in that division and take on Beckham and Bryant and make a name for himself. So this time next year, maybe he might be earning that truly and rightly, but we shall see, I guess.
Very much so. Anything else that you you want
to? Well, yeah, I just wanted to could go on a little rant about the whole NFL.com fantasy league activation process.
Oh man, I nearly lost my. Lost something last night when I realised that I could. Where's the league gone?
Yeah,
like I was scrolling back through old emails to find an activation link.
So number one, I think with all our three leagues, we had previously pre-activated and thought it would just happen, and then you suddenly get emails saying, "Are you going to?" It's disappeared, and it thankfully has all come back. That our Pipe and Slippers Dynasty League, our Hall of Lame League, and our Move the Sticks leagues have all now been activated again for the 2016 season. So with that in mind, it is in a way the new fantasy league year. And in the Pipe and Slippers League, we have one ownership change to just welcome officially David and the D-Train to the Dynasty Arena after he won our Move the Sticks League with the same team name, which is going to get confusing.
Yes.
When we talk about the D-Train. So welcome David, who, for everyone, he is at GVMNT Cheese on Twitter, if you want to follow his football musings. So he's coming in to take over the team from Matt, who wasn't exactly very active last year. but David has walked into a very tidy roster. There was talk about two teams being available, but Bruce has bravely rejoined us for the 2016 season.
Which was really good to hear.
Really appreciate Bruce coming back in and giving it another go and trying to spend the time on the league. So he is back in, but David is looking pretty set with Rogers and Gronkowski and Edelman and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm sure he will be challenging in that one. We have also just a couple of minor changes for everybody there. We've extended the roster size following a meeting of the so-called named Big Cocks that Anthony came up with. A few of us owners had a good Skype chat and got round to wanting to increase the roster to 28. We're having 23 keepers, so there's a few more there for everyone to select. That's going to allow for 5 rookie draft picks after they all find their teams and we get into pre-season and we find out if they're going to play and what's happening. We'll get that new rookie draft happening for this next season. So all that good stuff to look forward to.
Indeed, and you know, can't wait for it to really crack. crack off and get going.
And just that that mild panic that I realised the new thing started and the whole thing looked different, and it looked like any player who I know who hadn't selected their keepers already, it looked like they were all just free agents ready for anyone to sign. So I had to double check that that was all not able to take place, otherwise it could have gone all a bit haywire there. So, but just a reminder for yourself, Roger, to select your keepers, because it doesn't appear yours have been selected.
No, I haven't. Don't worry, I am mulling mine because I do not know yet whether keeping Charles is the right thing to do. Obviously, yes. Bell is a foregone conclusion, but Charles, given the fact that West and...
Well, now we've extended it as well to 23, you've only got to drop two people.
Sorry, I was thinking of the other Hall of Lame.
The Hall of Lame's two keepers, yeah.
Yes.
So in the Dynasty side of things, I'm going to be letting a quarterback go. I just thought I'd let everyone know. I thought about keeping him around in case he can sort his life out and come back to the NFL in a few years.
I don't think there's going to be a massive squabble to pick him up on waiver wire.
No, so he'll be leaving my team. So there we go. I guess that just about rounds it up, as we are here on a Sunday evening, 4 days and 4 hours away from the draft. Should be a good one, and looking forward to staying up for it.
Yeah, Friday's going to be interesting.
Don't worry about it.
I don't think anybody from my current employer works listens to this podcast, so
And of course, you're all staying up late tonight here in the UK for the 2 a.m. worldwide premiere of the latest season of Game of Thrones.
Yes, no spoilers, please, on my timeline, because I'm going to be watching it tomorrow night.
I've contemplated the 2 a.m. watch this evening.
I did, but I mean, there's no way I can do that and be up for work and drive. And I mean, I'm going to be antisocial just because that's who I am. Yeah. We don't need, you know, lack of sleep added to that.
Excellent stuff. So we will check in after this 2016 draft unfolds in Chicago. We've had a good chat here.
If you haven't already, Anthony has set up a little mock drafty type thing, isn't it, whereby you can on NFL.com, I can't remember for the life of me,
predict the pick.
Yes.
I had filled in my my first dozen selections about a week ago, so I've currently, it's all changed, so I now actually officially have Tunsil going to the Rams because I didn't move. They haven't moved around since the trade. So.
Yeah, you need to sort that out.
I wouldn't mind one of those top teams to surprise us all.
So
move up to take franchise left tackle.
Yeah, or Ramsey or something. That'd just be amazing. It'd be so good, but it's just not going to happen. So.
No, sadly not. So here we go. The draft is this week, so that's going to be fun. Thanks for the good chat this evening at Roger.
No, appreciate it. It's good to be back. I always enjoy these, and hopefully everybody out there that listens to them and you know watch this space, because the fantasy football pipe and slippers football podcast. I knew I'd get there. You're gonna have to bear with me, people, because it's gonna take a while for me to not have that roll off the tongue. Normally, I think it took about 5 attempts to get the start out today, so
you were hindered by an attack from a cat.
It was outrageous state of my hand. But watch this space, because we will be putting something together website wise. Hopefully, maybe about six weeks or so after the draft is kind of where I'm thinking.
Excellent stuff. So from myself, which is at Stephen Redkin on Twitter, and from at Roger M. Kirby, it's a good night.
I've been sipping a tea.